once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And I always forget what to say at that point.
We don't need to say any more. We've said our names, and at that point, we have given all the information that's... No,
you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a radio program.
Right.
You have the right to an attorney, but he just left the room.
Everyone has rights.
Yes, and a lot of people have wrongs, too.
A lot of wrongs.
So we have to disclose that the personal wealth coach is not only a highly rated by somebody radio program. It is also the name of an investment advisory firm located in Salado, Texas, and is part of probably a vast worldwide conspiracy. What was it? A vast right-wing conspiracy.
Or left-wing. It could be just a vast conspiracy.
Yeah, well,
work better if you don't try to identify the source of the conspiracy.
Yeah, but I was
then
quoting,
you can disprove it.
But I was quoting... No, you can't. I was quoting Madam Hillary Clinton, ex-First Lady of the United States, who stated that it was all the Monica Lewinsky stuff was the result of a vast right-wing conspiracy. It's always nice to know who sent Monica Lewinsky into the Oval Office.
Well, the reality is that there was a vast right-wing conspiracy.
That sent Monica Lewinsky? But she was blaming the Monica Lewinsky rumors and stories on a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Right. Well, the fact that Bill Clinton was impeached by the House was a conspiracy because
really?
The members of Congress...
conspired together to impeach him.
Because if you look up definition for conspire, it means you sit down and discuss and plan something. And
well,
yes, they did. They actually did that, but it was a legal conspiracy.
Right. It was actually, she had one wrong, she just misspoke very slightly. It was a vast West Wing conspiracy.
Right, yes, that's much more in line with the reality.
It wasn't a right wing conspiracy. Oh, I meant to say West Wing conspiracy. It's actually fun.
She had that corrected in her email server.
Oh.
She just can't find where she corrected it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because maybe the Republicans used to have a corner on that.
What, on breaking and entering? Or
no, on you, that too. Well, and you may not remember this. I accidentally pressed the erase button when I meant to press the play button, and I left and I held it down for like 30 minutes by accident, and that's why the
I wish we could just
it disappeared.
I just wish we could go back to the old method where as I remember Oliver North and Ronald Reagan being questioned, and
Ronald Reagan didn't actually get questioned, but Oliver North did.
Well, he got questioned by
the press,
not in front of the Congress, because he's got executive privilege, but he got questioned, and his answers were, I mean, it was a much simpler time where you could just say, I do not recall that. And
that's true about yesterday for me.
Right, I do not recall that. And now they say, well, do you recall deleting this? I don't recall not deleting it either. But so you don't get that simpler form of, now we have to be complex and do forensic hard drive analysis, and eventually it's going to be forensic brain analysis to see if you really remember and you're saying you don't. And just think what the tabloids are going to have for us in the future.
What the tabloids will have for us in the future. Will there be tabloids in the future? They will be digitoids, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and presuming that where you are and where we are is properly synchronized as to date, which is August 8th, Saturday, the year 2015, presuming that that is correct, and if you check your smartphone and or watch, unless, of course, you're driving, in which case you should not check any of these things, but should check out the vehicle in front of you to make sure you're not hitting it. And it turns out that it's Saturday, and it's August 8th, and it's 2015. Then you're welcome to give us a telephone call in more or less real time. It's not quite real time because there's actually a very slight lag, But it's pretty close to real time. If you'll call us at 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400 anywhere else within the sounds of our voices.
Really? But our voices, really, the sound of our voices only is here in the studio.
Right. And if you call that number
from
the studio, you will get through.
Right. Well, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
if the creek don't rise.
Right. We can't make promissory statements. You have a very high probability of getting through. We've carefully analyzed the probabilities of your getting through to us if you call right now. And it is fairly
high.
Yes,
very
it's
high.
Actually fairly high. Anyway, did anything happen this week?
We had a whole week.
Good.
It's pretty amazing.
U.S. payrolls rise 215,000 in July. Unemployment at 5.3%.
Right. These are broad things. We can. I wanted to hit the Ken Paxton thing right at the beginning.
Really? Well, we have a caller on 773-1400 who's going to hit us. So
yeah, let's do that.
Caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Caller.
Whoa.
Well, maybe we got to hit a switch.
Got to throw the switch here.
Here we
caller,
go.
Caller, you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, a few months ago or so, we were all discussing concerns about Putin's plans and mm-hmm. taking over everything. And
right.
Just wondering what stopped him. Was it the price of oil and or what it was? So I'll hang up and,
okay.
and listen.
Good
right.
question.
That is a very good question. By the way, not only has he stopped, he's reversed. His volunteers are leaving Ukraine, right. and he stopped talking about Novorossiya, which
well,
is...
Yeah, that's a great question. Because
it is. What stopped him?
What stopped him was a combination of economic factors and the fact that we were putting so much attention on Ukraine. Because he didn't really get stopped, and this is something that we need to make
mm-hmm,
clear here.
Right.
He just moved. He's down in Georgia right now. And I
Georgia,
don't mean Georgia, the United States. I
Georgia.
Mean that the border of South Ossetia in Georgia has been moving. It's been moving outward, and the Russians...
But only a few inches a day.
Well, it's been meters. It's. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's up to meters now, but...
They're moving it, and they're about to take...
an oil pipeline.
An oil pipeline that has, you know, it's run by BP. And BP has said it's okay because we haven't had access to that pipeline since the Civil War started anyway back in 2008. What Russia is doing right now...
Russia wants peace.
It wants a piece of Georgia
and a piece of Ukraine.
Putin wants peace on Earth, more peace of Earth, peace all of Earth. He should just say whole Earth. He wants whole Earth.
He's part of the whole Earth provision company.
Right.
Right.
So what happened in Ukraine was that, one, they're out of money in Russia. And they realized
they're
something.
Also out of money in Ukraine, but that's
right.
All right.
Well, this is part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians cut off gas to the eastern Ukrainians. These are the folks that they were just supporting. They cut
mm-hmm.
off the gas
right.
because they haven't made a payment since they declared independence for some reason.
Like they don't have any money or
right.
a taxing
no
authority
money.
Or a government.
No, exactly.
Or...
and
just little stuff.
So the Russians were okay with that as long as the price of oil is up and they could support bringing in troops and tanks and artillery and all kinds of big things, as long and they could give free gas to the eastern Ukrainians, except that the price keeps falling and they're getting
yep.
less money from everywhere else and they can't support it. So they had to
mm-hmm.
say to the eastern Ukrainians, you need to pay before we give you any more gas. And the Ukrainians, the eastern Ukrainians, said, we don't have any money. And the Russians go, we know. Too bad. We don't either. We're turning it off.
In answer to your question, there's a couple of things that occurred. One, the Western power, more specifically the United States, actually did show some, and the president, showed some gumption, I think, that the Russians didn't expect when we started shipping M1 tanks to be stored in the Baltic countries that
right.
border Russia.
We started building, we sent 110 A-10 Warthogs
mm-hmm.
to temporarily be stationed in the Baltic.
So what, and so
those
we,
are anti-tank airplanes, by
we
the way.
Have a reasonably substantial number of tanks that are now stored there with a minimal number of military personnel watching over them, but they're stored in positions where we could fly in
very quickly.
Very quickly with the crews, roll out and engage Russian tanks coming across the border. And there, we've also supplied the three countries up along the Balkans that are part of NATO with sufficient anti-tank systems that it would make it awkward for the Russians to come across big time, which means we would have probably have plenty of time to get American troops into the tanks and go out and blow up Russian tanks. Now,
on that Russian subject still,
right?
The French had two helicopter carriers that they were building for the Russians before the Ukrainian invasion. And they, the first one was done, and they were waiting for the second one to get done to deliver them. They'd already been paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the French said, we're not giving you helicopter carriers to go around in areas where you may be threatening French citizens. No, we're not doing that. So,
and we're also not going to refund your money, because there's a provision in the contract in paragraph.
No, but they just had
to
refund.
They have refunded the money.
They have now refunded the money. International law says you can't keep somebody's money if you're not going to give their stuff.
And since when have the French paid?
it's pretty good point. But so they gave some of the money back.
Ask the people who had annuities with executive life insurance company across the country when a company that was half owned by the French government bought executive life, stripped all the good securities out of it, replaced it with junk, it went bankrupt.
And the French said, oh, too bad.
And the French said, you do not have any right to get any money back from us. You took that risk when you gave your money to the company
French,
for an annuity.
Your French accent sounds very German.
Well, it's actually Alsace-Lorraine. up on the border region. Salzburg. No, not Salzburg. There's a whole series of towns in France that sound German.
If you just get a good... you can get a good French accent. You just have to do the French laugh.
I have to do the French laugh.
At the beginning, you go, oh, ha, ha, ha.
And then you have the French accent.
And
yes,
then
that's it.
You just have to begin with a laugh.
The
accent flows
right
out of the laugh.
That's good. But actually, caller, you hit the real deep-seated fundamental reason on the head pretty squarely as to why the Russians are backing down right now.
The price of oil is $45 a barrel.
But there's two issues here. Number one, the Russians moved the effective border of Ukraine to the edge of what had once been Novorussia. Exactly. On the back side of that border, the side that's over closer to Russia, the vast majority of people speak Russian as their first language. They have Russian passports.
Ruskies.
They have Russian license tags on their cars. And
they spend their time in Russia when on vacation.
And so the Russians, from looking at it from the Russian point of view, it was a patriotic move. It was as if somehow, because of some kind of national treaty or something like that, the southern part of California and the southern part of Arizona and most of New Mexico and the area between the Nueces and the Rio Grande reverted to Mexico, from whom, by the way, we took it in a matter of questionable legality.
Right. It's kind of like the Republic of Texas declaring independence
from
its rightful ruler at the time.
Yeah.
And then becoming its own country.
Right. But the border, even at that point, Mexico's continued, even though... Even when that particular dust settled, Mexico continued to say that the northern border of Mexico was the Nueces River.
There was another war fought over the Rio Grande.
William Henry Harrison. Well, it was either him or his, who followed behind, whoever followed him, the vice president. He wasn't president very long. But I can't remember, Harrison. Tyler was the next president? I think it was Tyler. Was his
Tippecanoe and Tyler too?
Yes, yes. Harrison died, and then Tyler took over, and Tyler started the Mexican War over Abraham Lincoln's objections, who was a congressman at the time.
Yes,
and the point was that when the United States of America merged with or annexed, depending on your perspective, the Republic of Texas, and the Republic of Texas became the state of Texas.
Wait a minute. You missed the perspective point completely there.
I did.
It wasn't merged with or annexed by. It was Texas annexed the United States. You see, the perspective issue, you missed the biggest perspective in
Texas.
Okay.
Well, I did miss that. You're right. Well, in a sense, that is a good perspective. I believe that. Anyway, the Mexicans continued to claim and were internationally recognized as having their northern border at the Nueces River.
Internationally, however, by everyone except for the Texans and the Americans.
And the Americans. And so when Tyler signed the law annexing Texas into the United States, merging Texas with the United States, whatever it was that happened there.
Submitting the United States to be governed by Texas.
Effectively, he bought Texas. What happened is Texas traded the area that is now Colorado and New Mexico, southern half of Colorado, well, not the southern half, but a good part of eastern Colorado.
And a big chunk of eastern New Mexico.
And most of New Mexico for the United States government assuming the outstanding debts of the bankrupt Republic of Texas.
Yes.
And but part of the land that the United States acquired and left with Texas but were still part of the United States, when they signed that, they defined the boundaries as being the Rio Grande.
The Mexicans didn't agree with that.
Right. And so we sent troops in and actually went down pretty close to Mexico City by the time we were done and basically had them pretty thoroughly defeated and said, okay, guess what? You're going to drop your claims to all of this land. And then we pulled back. The Mexicans declared a victory. But when the dust settled, we had a lot of what used to be Mexico. Now, Putin is a great student of history.
Right. He's looking at that and said, that was a great patriotic move in the United States.
That
caused
the
popularity of the people in office to go through the stratosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, that worked really, really well. So we're going to do it in these little pop gun states around Russia.
By pop gun, we mean Georgia, Azerbaijan, Ukraine.
Now, what was the name of that place they went? South Ossetia.
South Ossetia is part of Georgia.
And I really like
South Ossetia is actually, well, there are three countries in Georgia, and there are now three countries in Azerbaijan, and there are two countries three countries if you count Russia, in what used to be Ukraine. So they're really good at finding their neighbors and breaking them into three parts.
Pieces.
Yes.
On Earth. They want peace.
Pieces. Pieces on Earth.
Well, in Russia, it comes out, we want peace.
And it's fascinating because Georgia, one side of the Georgian conflict is getting its weaponry from the United States, and one side is getting its weaponry from Russia.
Right.
But all three sides in Azerbaijan are getting their weaponry from Russia. So the Russians are saying, we're not making so much in oil, but we can sell these weapons to these people on Earth. I mean, what great trade partners we have just across the border. Every time they stop buying from us, we just step in and mess things up a little bit more. And they buy more from us. It's great.
Those AK-47s are everywhere. Man, I'm telling you what. If you look at, for instance, into West Africa, what you see is
Kalashnikov everywhere.
Well, you see various Russian weapons mounted on Toyota vehicles.
It's Japanese and Russian.
The Japanese, you know, the Russo-Japanese war is still going on, except they united so that the weapons ride around on Toyota vehicles.
Right.
You know, we joke about this. This is
it isn't really, but it's only funny because we're a long ways away.
It's pretty clear, at least to me, that the strategery of Russia at this point. We need to incorporate that word into our language.
I think we already have.
It's a good one. I think George W. Bush will be famous forever for coming up
with
the word.
Yeah, there's a precedent for it, literally.
He is a precedent, yeah. Literally, there's a precedent for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, what you're saying there, they're destabilizing the people around them because it gives them a buffer zone and it gives them a stream of income.
No, that's not what I'm looking at. That was my thought. The thought I'm looking at is there are places that have been filled with Russian-speaking people who consider themselves Russians, just like most Texans, despite all our all the noise we make, consider ourselves Americans. And I don't think I've ever met a Texan who didn't consider himself an American. So the point is that there are quite a few Russians that live in former Soviet Union republics, and they tend to live in areas that are clustered on the Russian side of those republics, and they live there for a very good reason. Catherine the Great expanded the borders of Russia into an area she referred to as New Russia, Novo Russia. And up until very recently, like a few months ago, Vladimir Putin was using that term very commonly, which strongly indicated that he was interested in pushing the boundaries of Russia out to where Catherine the Great's boundaries were.
He realized it was a little too expensive.
Not a totally unreasonable thing to do. And you'll notice this is very consistently. He pushes out to those boundaries. There is a uproar around the world. And then he pulls back but leaves the boundaries in place.
Yeah, and he's done that in a lot of places. And push forward, then, I really didn't want to take it. Let me step back a little bit.
And so he's pulling back right now because the price of oil, largely because they're running out of money, their credit rating keeps getting dropped. It's not quite to junk yet, but getting there.
The ruble's been falling, which has actually been helpful for them because they sell their oil in dollars. Dollar's been going up, ruble's been falling. So inside Russia, it's not so bad. But when they're doing things internationally, it's pretty rough.
And there's a lot of things going on now. There's a larger picture going on here that is, it may not be any kind of strategery by the United States government, but
it's probably not actually when we look at what else is going on.
It's fascinating. Saudi Arabia is one of our closest allies in the world, period.
Or was at one point.
Still is. They are, it's kind of like China. We make these noises between ourselves like we're really upset at each other, but we're really not.
Right.
And because the United States can't be overtly supporting a regime that treats women like property.
Right.
And cuts people's hands off and does stuff like that.
Beheadings, that sort
of thing. But they still are, they coordinate, their security is virtually totally dependent upon the United States, and they know it, okay? So they tend to do what the United States tells them to do. And they are pumping a record amount of oil each month despite the low prices, and they continue to do so. The number of drilling rigs in the United States, by the way, rose substantially over the past couple of weeks, despite the fact that oil, West Texas Intermediate, is now well below $50, like
$44.27.
Which would indicate that you would normally see the number of oil drilling rigs falling off, but they're not. They're actually, more holes are being drilled, and they're being drilled at a fairly high rate of speed.
Sorry, it's $44.31. I was off by 4 cents. A barrel.
Round figures, 44. Right. You know, I mean, I haven't actually bought a barrel. How many gallons are in a barrel of oil?
33.
Yes, so that's weird too. Anyway, the point is that there at least is circumstantial evidence that there is a strategic plan underway here to force down the price of oil and keep it down for an extended period of time for a couple of reasons. One, the most fundamental reason the Iranians came to the bargaining table is they're going broke. The Iranians.
Right.
The most fundamental reason, I think, that the Russians are pretending to be a sleeping bear as opposed to an angry bear
is the money.
Is the fact that the price of oil is down and they're going broke. So basically, if we go back to what I think it was Robert Rubin? No, it was, who's the guy that's mayor of Chicago now?
Let no crisis go.
Yeah. The whole point is, we have a very good debt crisis going on around the world. We might as well take advantage of it because we're in the position, and I've said this over and over again, the United States has the lowest debt as a nation of any developed nation on the planet. And if you go to the emerging markets, the undeveloped nations, we're still ahead of the game. We have our debt ratio, as much as common sense would say that it shouldn't be this high, is still the best one in the world.
I disagree that it's the best one in the world, but it is good.
Which one is better?
Who Switzerland. Better? They've got a 33% debt to GDP ratio, and they have a lot of gold.
The Swiss,
you can't really beat the Swiss when it comes to debt ratio.
No. And when I talk about Let me simply say, of any significantly economic...
The one that has exports
Singapore,
other than...
Singapore.
Exports other than chocolates and clocks.
Yeah, Singapore has almost no debt, too. But that's
right.
Beside the point.
And they're developed. They're just not... They're not world players.
Yeah, and there are large city states. Switzerland is effectively a large city state.
Well,
you
it also governs and helps manage another city state in Rome.
Yes,
so,
it just has a defense treaty with it.
Right. Well, it helps to manage. So the commander of the Swiss Guards actually has some authority.
Are you aware of the fact
that
the treaty between the Vatican and Switzerland makes the Vatican the sole user of Swiss mercenaries
right,
in the world.
Right, because at the time the treaty was made, they were the strongest military force on the planet.
Yes, and who knows, they might still be, because they still have Air Force bases inside of mountains.
Right, and that's something we don't have. I mean, we have Air Force bases inside of mountains, but not a lot of them, and you don't launch airplanes out of them.
Yeah, well, not Air Force bases. We have headquarters inside of mountains, but we don't actually have runways where the mountain opens up and the aircraft flies out and then the mountain closes up again. You know?
Yeah.
It's like out of science fiction.
Only it's out of Switzerland.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, they are all eating chocolate and listening to cuckoo clocks as they get ready to fly their jets out of the mountain.
As somebody said, indeed, Switzerland has never had a great debt. It's never had a great depression. It has all these wonderful things, and the most significant things they've invented in their history is a cuckoo clock.
Yes.
That tells you something. I'm not sure what. No. They actually have invented something else.
They have.
The Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. When it tells you that the vast majority of people covet a piece of military equipment made by the Swiss.
Do you know what is significant, the most significant thing about the Swiss Army knife that makes it different from other Army knives?
A magnifying glass. Tweezers.
No, there's actually others have that too.
Toothpick.
No. No. Obviously the red color with a little cross on it.
The Swiss flag.
No.
There's
other people that have come out.
It's very different.
It is the only official military issue knife with a corkscrew.
That's a statement about
that tells you something about the way the Swiss approach war. Okay, let's stop and have, the English will have a cup of tea. The Swiss will haul out some French wine.
Right, French wine and chocolate.
You really don't want to mess with them. Anybody who drinks French wine and eats Swiss chocolate and carries officially an issued Swiss Army knife, and by the way, in many cases, keeps a tank in their garage. Do you know tank commanders literally have their tanks parked in garages
and
houses?
Where else would you put it? There's too many mountains to have big parking lots for motor pools.
And his neighbors are his fellow crew members.
Right. Head over to Jim's house and get in the tank. We got practice.
And talking about guns rights, do you realize
it's not Jim, it's Hans. I'm sorry.
Do you realize that in Switzerland, they still have universal conscription of men.
And universal...
And you're issued an automatic service weapon, and you take it home with
every
you.
Every adult has an automatic rifle, and their gun crime rate's pretty low.
Yeah, well, their burglary rate is very nearly zero.
They home defense is an understood.
Yeah, they do have this problem with landslide, with snow avalanches burying buildings, but...
Right.
Other than that, you don't have...
They just move into the mountain for a while.
Yeah, anyway. So, you're listening to the Person Wealth Coach.
Let me hit the Texas Attorney General before we do commercials.
Don't.
It shouldn't very long.
No, that is assault and battery.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hit the subject rather
than the person. Well, you can hit the subject.
Okay, what happened? Ken Paxton, our Attorney General here in Texas...
who is the leading comedian in Texas right now.
Really?
Assigned him that. Rick Perry used to be our leading comedian.
I'm not sure that
Ken Paxton is now the funniest guy in Texas.
I don't know. He was an attorney, as we would hope at being the Attorney General now. It's kind of hard to be the Attorney General if you don't know the law. But
in his particular case, the fact that he was an attorney was no indication that he knew the law.
He was referring his clients, to an investment advisory firm. You are listening to this program, and you know that we understand the investment advisory law.
Was it a brokerage firm or an investment advisor?
It's a state-registered investment advisory firm. So it wasn't registered with the SEC. It wasn't big enough.
Right. Or experienced
enough. Or experienced enough. And there's no, there's not like a brand of acceptance by registering with the SEC. It just means that hopefully at that point you've got your act together enough, because at that level you've got a lot of assets. It doesn't mean you've got your act together, but it means hopefully you have.
Mm-hmm.
At the state level, you've got to register if you're giving investment advice. And one of the tenets of the Investment Advisory Act of 1940, which is followed in the state of Texas with Texas securities laws.
Sometimes.
Well, when it comes to fiduciary status and
well, it's supposed to registry. Be followed.
Yeah. Full disclosure of compensation. If somebody's giving you advice and getting paid to give you the advice and not telling you about it, then they're not working in your best interest.
If somebody else is paying them, right?
Yeah, if somebody
other
else
than you.
Or even if you're paying them and you don't know it. That's not in your best interest.
No.
And this is one of the tenets. This is one of the major foundational issues of that law. And what he was doing was he was referring people and raising money for an investment advisory firm and being paid when, well, this is according to the indictment and according to the fine that was levied against him by the securities board, the state securities board. Mm-hmm. He admitted to the wrongdoing. He says it's a civil crime. Well, the problem with it is that the Investment Advisory Act doesn't just cover the civil penalty. There's a criminal penalty that goes with it. And this is one of the reasons why fiduciaries are harder to be. It's harder to stay a fiduciary because there are criminal penalties as well as civil penalties. And he doesn't understand that because all of his press releases were saying it was a civil thing, no big deal. He didn't check the law to say that when you – it's kind of like a doctor owning a pharmacy. It's not legal in the state of Texas because the doctor might write you a prescription that is more expensive and he gets paid more. We already look bad at it if a pharmaceutical company comes in and gives a load of cash to a doctor. We look at it and say, hey, there's something weird going on there. This is the same type of issue. This isn't saying, hey – go to Joe, he can tell you some good hot stocks. This is, hey, go to Joe, he's going to work in your best interest. He's going to tell you how he gets paid, and he's going to do his best to make sure that the advice that he gives you fits the legal standard of fiduciary. And in this case, they violated it from one end to the other. I mean, it was just...
Well, that's the acting as an investment advisor or representative without registering.
Right. That's
the
one
other
side.
The other two indictments are felony indictments for securities fraud. He according to the indictments that were unsealed Monday, Paxton offered to sell two people more than $100,000 worth of stocks in a McKinney technology company. But he didn't disclose to them. He was acting theoretically as an attorney, as an objective advisor,
right.
And he did not tell them that he was going to be getting a commission on that. And really bad idea because one of the victims in this particular case is State Representative Brian Cook, a Republican from Corsicana.
Right.
And you know it's.
And let's say something here. If he had told his client that he was being paid and explained how he was being paid.
And he'd gotten a license as an investment advisory
right.
representative, which would
all
have
of those
been
things,
very simple to do.
Right, that would have been fine. But getting the license means that you are saying to the world that you're going to follow the rules. He's not got the license, and then he sold stock, which you can sell stock if you've got a privately held company and you want to sell it to a friend or you want to say, my friend wants to sell some stock. You can do that. But as soon as you start getting into an area of raising money for someone else and getting paid to do it.
Do you know what his commissions were on those stocks?
No, I don't.
30%.
That's a little bit crazy.
In other words, had Attorney General Paxton come to you and said, I got this great technology company that I've heard about. And as your attorney, I am recommending you invest $100,000 in it, as, by the way, people did.
And then you admire his nice car as he drives up the
yes.
next day.
He wasn't disclosing that of that $100,000, he got paid a commission without being a securities representative.
Right. If he were licensed.
30%, even if he were licensed, a 30%
would be
commission
wrong. Yeah.
would have that, gotten him hammered.
This is something that when we talk about this, when we're talking about blue sky, Blue sky is the definition for a concept. When you buy a piece of paper that says that you own a percentage of a company, all you have to show for it is a piece of paper, and most people even don't have that. They just have a computer note somewhere that says it. They don't occupy a building like you do when you own a house. There's a lot of the protections that we take for granted when you own a physical asset you don't have when you own a percentage ownership in a company. So we have to regulate it to make sure that people don't sell more ownership than there actually is. And for years, people used to sell 180% of their company. You'd sell it to three different people, and they all thought they were the owner, and they'd all show up on the same day and go, oh, what's going on? That's called fraud. And when someone transacts business as an attorney, that whole sacred relationship of attorney-client privilege is because the attorney is supposed to be giving advice to their client in a way that is unbiased and focused on the client's interests. When the attorney's making kickbacks for giving advice, that's not cool. And the fact is that on the civil side, he's already admitted to it. So what he should have recognized is that when you admit to it on the civil side, the criminal charges are going to follow when you're dealing with fiduciary issues. It's kind of like saying you're an attorney and you admit to malpractice. Yeah, I took money from a client when I should have. I'll pay my fine. Well, the Bar Association is going to show up next, and so are the next people after that. The regulatory authorities look at that as saying, whoa, you may have messed up more than one place.
And I was actually reading the indictment while you were talking. It actually gets better.
It's because you're a nerd reading
indictments. If you assume it was even got better. One of the indictments is that he convinced somebody as their attorney to invest $100,000, and then he received as a commission on the, one of the indictments, 100,000 shares of the stock valued on the books at $1 per share. So 100% commission.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Now, all of this is still indictment. He has not had his day in court.
Right.
And there may be some political movement going on under there.
Well,
but the fact is that this is not in Travis County. And Travis County is usually the one that has the political ramifications behind indictments. So
this is one of the more conservative right-wing counties in the state.
Right. And so when he's claiming it, I would believe it a lot more if it was sitting in Travis County. I would say, yeah, there may be some political issues involved in this. That's not what's going on, folks. This is not a good thing. We don't want to be Louisiana. Let's not have our top cop be the guy that's going down for fraud.
Well, it's compounded a little bit by, in fact, one of the indictments covers, and I think you mentioned this, and one of the indictments basically covers an area where he's already admitted
to the wrongdoing.
Publicly and officially admitted guilt and was fined.
Thinking it was only a civil issue. But he's the attorney general. He should know better. He should know it's not just a civil issue when he admits guilt.
And once he admitted guilt to the state securities board and they fined him, and then the district attorney in Collin County, where this all took place, looked at it and said, that's pretty clearly a violation of state securities laws.
And the lawsuits...
And he just officially said he'd done it publicly while he was a senator from that county, by the way.
Right, right.
He brought in two special prosecutors, both of whom are Republicans and both of whom have, one of them was the defense attorney for DeLay here in Texas.
And then
the other thing is the Texas Rangers were even called in and they investigated and came to the same conclusion.
Right. They're the ones that are recommending indictment to the DA. And when the Texas Rangers, they are as unpolitical as you can possibly get in Texas. They are... It's almost a priesthood in my mind. I kind of put them up on a pedestal. When they're involved and they say you've done something wrong and you need to be prosecuted for it, if I was on a jury, I wouldn't say that they have convinced me of guilt just because the Texas Rangers were involved, but I would take it very seriously.
Well, I think the fact that the most deadly thing in the entire case is in his mugshot. Ken Paxton is smirking.
Oops. We've got commercials to play.
And you just don't smirk. And if you ever, folks, if you ever get a mugshot in the state of Texas,
give on a full, big, brilliant smile,
either
or be
smile
deadpan,
or look really, really sad, but don't smirk.
And yeah, the deadpan issue, don't do that. Do the really sad issue, like I didn't want to get. But if you're doing
look,
the deadpan,
look
you just
sweet and innocent, or
yeah,
smile at the fact that this is all
this
a political
is, oh,
stupidity.
This is so silly. But if you smirk, no.
One side of his mouth is in a, like it's trying to grin. And the other side of his mouth is like he's trying to frown. I think, anyway, enough of that. We'll move on to something
yes,
else.
Yes, we got commercials to
like
play.
I said, this is one of the funnier things, one of the more humorous.
Yeah, the fact that
Donald Trump at the national level is the number one comedian right now. He had a bigger, never mind, we'll go
yeah,
into that. Okay,
yeah.
We will go to commercials. This is the Personal Wealth Coach, and we'll be back on the other side with more of this terribly degrading and
Silliness.
All right, we'll be back. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone numbers in here remain 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
You know, the little since I've been here, which has been a long time, longer than I like to think about on this radio program.
You shouldn't think about it for that amount of time.
The little tape here with the telephone numbers on it has been getting steadily darker.
Right. I have noticed that when it was first put in, it was this bright blue, and now it's mostly
kind of a brown,
black.
Dark brown with the black. Eventually, we're not going to be able to read the telephone numbers.
Well, hopefully we'll have it memorized by that point.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Well, we have a caller on 773-1400, and you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Guys, I apologize. I should probably ask Ed this question, but in the commercial, again, I know you don't endorse them, not asking you to, but they always talk about if you have credit card debt of $10,000 or owe $10,000 to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea what sets the $10,000?
It's a profit point.
Yeah,
it's a profit point. They're basically saying it's not worth their time unless you have $10,000.
If you have $10,000 in debt, what they're going to basically, and I don't know specifically about this company, but there's a pattern that's emerged over the years. It's pretty consistent. And it basically says, okay, you can't afford to make the payments of $1,000 a month or whatever you're having to make. We will chop your payments to $400 a month, or maybe $600 a month. And a percentage of that, of course, goes to the people who cut your payment. But you have to have a pretty good-sized chunk of money that you owe before they can make enough profit from the money you're going to pay at the reduced level to make it worth their time to mess with. It really boils down to that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And
it's kind of funny that we have this comment as we're listening to the advertisements during the radio program of who is it that they think our listening audience is.
Obviously, people who are poor who think they can make a lot of money from home without investing any money or time.
I certainly hope that the people that
and then after
run
they
those
do,
ads don't make any money, because I'm hoping our listeners are
well. Then, but you see,
the
if you listen to it very carefully, they've been running those ads to work from home and make lots of money and
right.
set your own pay and quit your job. Immediately followed by you now have so much debt that you need to.
It's very appropriate.
But before that, and they've stopped now that gold has fallen 50%.
They're like gold.
They've stopped with the buying gold and become wealthy.
Right. Just go out and buy gold.
So here's the succession of the ads. Buy gold, become wealthy.
Work from home.
You need
collection.
To quit your job and raise your income. See, we can get you out of the phenomenal debt that you've incurred.
It's
that's the series of commercials.
And
I mean,
floors.
And floors, yes.
Right. So that
right.
It's
but the floors have been consistent over the years.
People need floors. It's
hard
to walk
right.
without them.
I must admit that the Best Little Floor House in Texas ad, but I really miss the one where they talked about the dogs peeing on the floors.
Though. Right. That was great, because, I mean, you don't want.
You could I could relate to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that one has been consistent over the years, and there's no promise there that if you invest a lot of money in either dog pee or floors,
right.
you'll make a fortune.
They don't
it's
promise
a legit,
anything.
You know, it's
very
a
legitimate.
It's a legitimate advertisement for a company that wants to sell you something.
Rather than
Buy something from us and get for free and get lots and become wealthy.
I will tell you how a billionaire entrepreneur can tell you how to make money from home.
Yes.
Invest your $1 billion and live off the income.
Right.
Right. And if you can do that, I will send, if you have $1 billion, I will send you a book for free to tell you how you can work from home.
Yes. I hope none of the people who actually listen to this program believe any of that stuff.
Well, I wouldn't say any of this stuff. I mean, well, yes, I would. I would.
One of the prime issues in investing and in economics is it's humorously said, there's no such thing as a free lunch, but there is no wealth without risk. There is no wealth without discipline. There is no wealth without effort. And every American, barring somebody who is mentally ill or mentally deficient or somehow unable to work, through their lifetime has the ability to become wealthy. It's just not an impossibility.
Right. It's not easy. Don't get us wrong there, but it is possible.
But step one is stop listening to commercials on television and stop subscribing to television.
Right.
Step two is to listen to the commercials on the radio.
If you're spending your late night hours watching infomercials, that's probably not the best way to make money.
You don't even have to spend I was sitting in a car dealership the other day, and I was sitting there waiting in their waiting room, and they had Fox, which is probably the most popular channel in the area, and I was the commercials, because I don't watch television, were absolutely hilarious. And I was laughing when everybody else was serious, and I realized it was inappropriate, so I stopped. But
I have a piece of information. I'll hit it really quick and cause it to say uncle.
Uncle!
People have talked about the gender pay gap in the United States for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Women who recently graduated from college earn as much as or more than their male counterparts in 29 fields. And the fields, they make 10% more in industrial engineering jobs right out of college. And this is a trend that's just started within the last 3 or 4 years. But if you look at the college graduation rates, what you're going to find is that the top of the classes have been women a lot more. And so people don't need to worry so much about trying to be fair and implementing wage controls or whatever for genders. The free market's looking around and saying, if a woman is smarter, we're going to pay them more.
Yeah. Well, we got a break. And move on to news, Fox News, and we'll be back on the other side. But I want to tell you something. I'll give you advance warning. I'm going to give you some more good news on the other side, which is going to make people really unhappy.
Yeah,
okay?
Forget this. It's killing our ratings to give good news all
the
time.
Martin Feldstein, who's the professor of economics at Harvard, said that middle class incomes have not stagnated or fallen over the last 30 years. They have risen.
Which is the numbers that I've been saying for the last 5 years or so. So at least I know he's brilliant. That's why he's at Harvard.
He obviously agrees with you. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and if you'd like to contact us off the air, we have voicemail on the weekend, live people during the week, 947-1111.
Toll free, it's 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com, and you can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com. Until next hour, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
Radio 1400. KTEM. Serving Central Texas. KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.